Welcome to Soul Chat, a platform created by queens, recognized queens, to help bring out the queen in you and helping you master yourself holistically. We aim to be the light at the end of the tunnel with topics and guests that speak to your soul. So join us as we take you on an epic journey with powerful people sharing powerful stories and tools to bring out the best in you. Hi, you guys. Welcome to Soul Chat. I am your host, Ebony Chitora, and I'm so excited to have my girl, Stepha LaFond, on here with me. If you guys have been joining us for Sunday Soul Chat, that is the live experience that I brought back on Instagram to have these discussions and to go deeper on Sundays live. And she's joined me. And when we chatted, we talked about motherhood. We talked about parenting, a little bit about relationships. So we're gonna kind of expand upon that today. I find that she has so much of a balanced perspective. But first, let me just tell you about her. That way you're like, you could love her as much as I do.
Yay!
All right, so Stepha is a motherhood transitions coach who is dedicated to navigate the delicate space between who they were and who they are still becoming. Her services and programs infuse personal development and spirituality and are designed to help moms reclaim their personal power so they can do life and motherhood on their own terms. So that's just so much, especially being a mother. I know one of the things you and I had connected with and one of the things we agreed on was like motherhood is a calling, not just... you got some little babies to love on and kiss on and mold. You know, it's really just a calling and it's so multifaceted. So we kind of discussed that. But I always ask everybody, the first question I ask on Soul Chat is, who are you in your words for those listening?
Who am I? God, I like to just start with like, I am an energy. I think there's just like a vibration that everybody has, and I'm one of those people that when you're with me, you feel that energy, and through that energy, I channel all these things. So I'm a woman, I'm a wife, I'm a mother, I'm a friend, I'm somebody who speaks their mind. I'm very, everything I do is from my heart and soul. So I show up, I'm authentic, I laugh, I curse, I kiki, I do all the things, but it's always me. So what you get, whether it's me at like a corporate setting or me like in the park with you, it's likely going to be that same energy. It's going to be different, but it's going to be a different thing, but it's going to be with that same energy, with that same stuff-ness, the essence. So that's how I like to describe myself.
I love that so much. I think you're the first to ever say that. And maybe that's why we connect. You know, I think we connect with people subconsciously because there's so much about us that is very similar. Same vibration. So we tend to, especially from online, it's like there's so many people that I feel like, oh my God, I just know you. And I know if I saw you in person, it wouldn't be any different. It would just still feel like, oh my God, I just love her. And like you said, feeling your energy, you know?
Absolutely. I think so many times, like when we're asked who we are, and we were trained to describe like the things that we do, right? Mm-hmm. And I had to learn that, A, that's just not true, right? We're not what we do. We're just who we are. And I think it was, there's a famous quote. I don't want to misquote the person. I think it's Toni Morrison that said it. But it's just, you're who you are. And we do these things and we show up in the world in many different ways. And that can be awesome. But when we're too attached to that, when we put our identity into like, especially like the work when you're talking about working under an employer-employee type of relationship, or this thing that everybody in my family knows me as this person, especially like it's like I'm the strong one, I'm the one that does this. We box ourselves in, and when we no longer want to do those things or are able to do those things, we feel worthless. So it's just like, what is all of that, all of who you are? And that's what I get moms to see, right? Like, yes, you're a mom and that's amazing, however you are so many other things.
You just said so much, and I hope somebody's healing just hearing that. You know, I know that because of titles and stuff like that, it can either propel us forward or it can keep us stuck in so many ways because of the perception that we paint behind each title. You know what I'm saying? So, and like you said, when we cannot do those things, we don't feel as valuable. And it's like, you know, we have to remember we are spirit having human experiences. So we are not these things, and these things are a means to expanding our spirit.
Yeah.
It's just a funny thing to me that we so forget. So I really hope somebody wrote that down, because that was such an amazing response, and you're definitely the first person that said that. I know times even you know, I know that just being a mom, I feel like that's always not even the first thing that I mentioned, because what I realized years ago was if my kids are my end all be all reason for everything, they'll be the same reason why I can't elevate as well. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yep. You
know, so I know that I cannot use them as the source of my motivation. You know, are they one of the reasons? Definitely. But more than anything, it has to be, I felt like it always has to be, you know, what is my sole purpose and what is my reason for doing what I do? And I always thought about that in that way too, is because when I used to, when I was a director at a program, you know, people would use that excuse to not come to work. My kid is sick. I have to go get this. And we were rebuilding. So we were working with welfare recipients trying to get them reestablish and into the workforce. So, you know, I would say to them, that mindset, you know, your kids can either be your crutch or they can motivate you. And just as an identity purpose, you know, there's so many women that tie their identity into motherhood that when them babies move out and they're living their life, they have a crisis where they're like, I don't know what to do. I don't have nobody to cook for. I don't have nobody to talk to. You forget your hobbies. You forget the things you love. You forget how to take care of yourself and what you like. You just become so detached because you invest every fiber of your being into being mom.
Yeah, and I think one of my observations early on in motherhood is that, okay, what were the women ahead of me doing? I've seen different examples, but I definitely, like, when I think about my mother herself, like, she didn't. I mean, she had 5 kids, right? And she had us very young, and she did invest so much into us. So her identity, like, it was all in the household. Where I look at my aunts, who, even though they had children, they were still invested in themselves and still have a life and are able to just, like, be their own people outside of motherhood. And just that giving me a framework, not that I didn't want to be like my mom, like shunning her for everything that she did. That was also part of her personality. She's more of an introverted person. But it's also like, well, what does this look like? And I saw, like, recurring themes, like people who would all of a sudden now have nothing in common with their partners, right? Their husbands, because all they did was raise these children. Mm-hmm. And it keeps you busy, you know, like, it keeps you busy. And now you become the maintenance, you're maintaining this household, right? Mm-hmm. So you're not thinking about the day-to-day of your relationship. But then when that gets taken away, you realize, oh shit, all we've been doing is managing this house, managing these kids, and we don't even like each other, or we don't have anything that we talk about.
Wow.
There's no reason to stay. And I see it. I've seen it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, nah, this is not. So, and that's why I wanted to be like, let's, I think the better we connect with ourselves and be like, this is who I am. And this is who I'm evolving into being throughout our motherhood journey. Then you give yourself that space to just be versus being like this one dimensional, which we know we're not, but sometimes we're forced ourselves into being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's just, it's so, so many layers to like self-discovery, you know, mm-hmm. obviously we have to get through the fears first.
Yeah.
We have to get through the fears. And you said something that I know even for me, you know, so, I've been sharing just the journey of walking away from that 11-year relationship. And one of the things that did keep me there was the kids. But then I also knew I can't stay for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't want them to have a perception of what happy looks like that's not really happy.
Yeah.
You know, and we really, you know, we connected when it came to, like, we have these kids. We're great co-parents together. However, as far as it's like, you know, you had messaged me saying about values. And one of the things I mentioned in a live with someone else is I said, you know, we have to realize that a lot of times, especially as we grow, you know, I met him when I was 20, you know, so it's like, I was a different person then. I was experiencing different things. I was still growing. And when we don't connect with, when it comes to values with people, you know, we don't realize that that's like, that's a deal breaker. You know, if you yeah. value peace as an example, right? And that person does not, you know, that's not a value for them. Mm-hmm. We can't coexist in the same space. We just can't. You know, if I value, I mean, I could list a couple of things, saving money, and that person doesn't value saving money. They say they do at a surface level, but the actions do not reflect that. You know, mm-hmm. so it's just so big to, you know, and it's so funny because people keep messaging me like, you are just helping so many people. Like so many people are going to be breaking up just reading your post. And I'm like, it's not a bad thing. You know, I'd rather, like you said before I hit record, you know, yeah, you've invested time with somebody and everybody's time invested is different, you know, but that doesn't equate to investing more time. That doesn't mean
yes. oh my God,
I got to yes. stay longer. You know what I'm saying? And not for nothing. It kind of was just like, going from being asleep to woke. And it was just like, once I really made the decision and I was listening to God and I was like, all right, God, you keep telling me, you keep showing me this thing. Like I'm going to really do it this time. Mm-hmm. And I was afraid and I was, all these fears came to surface, which I talk about a couple podcasts ago. But one of the things I said to myself is I, in my head, I'm thinking, do I have another 11 years in me?
That
was a really, really hard hell no. I was like, hell no.
Yeah.
11 years of this same cycle and, you know, I just saw just so many different layers of who we were just did not align. And, you know, so many women, we believe we can change people. Obviously I'm in the business of changing people, you know, and I know, I mean, obviously I've even learned you can't change people. And not only that, believing that, you know, I thought just as a relationship, you know, I did a lot of things to try to make it work. I did a lot of things to say, okay, let's learn a different way to communicate. Let's learn each other a little bit more. Let's talk about more in-depth stuff, you know, but some people just are not willing to meet you at deep levels because they just can't, that's just not what they're willing
to do. How they are. Yeah,
exactly. And we had kids. So it was just like, okay, yes. I value family? Yes. But you know, if you had valued family, speaking of him, you know, there's just so many things that wouldn't happen. Like, you gotta, you can say one thing, yeah. If your values reflect that you really don't believe that, you don't believe in peace, you don't believe in family, you don't believe in integrity, you don't believe in loyalty, I mean, those are deal breakers. And, you know, I think a lot of times we have to think, okay, well, if I was single, or if I was not a mom, would I have stayed with this person this long?
You know, I think there's so many things that you just said there. One of them is that you're in the business of changing people, and then you're like, wait, well, you can't change people. And I'm like, yes. So what I see, particularly being in my personal development, is like, you can bring people to the light, and in bringing them to that light, they see what they already had, right? You can help awaken what was sleeping inside of them. Right. And there's a lot of people that have that. So you can see what they are unable to see themselves, and you just pull it out slowly, and you help them bring that forward. But there are some things you can't change. And there are people like that. And to that point, I wanted to add, though, that I can imagine people thinking maybe they're on the fence. Maybe they are in a relationship where they're like, well, what if, like, they can't change? Like, is it a values deal breaker? And I think what you mentioned was important. It's like, if it's not happening, because there are things that people can change that are learned behaviors, but it may not be in their value, because you can have different values than somebody, but your values complement each other. Mm-hmm. Or if they work, like if they are committed to you and there is something that you find valuable or value, they're like, all right, here's what I can do to meet you and honor those values, right? And I think that when that's happening, that's completely different. That you may not have a carbon copy of yourself with the same values, but you have somebody that's honoring your values, that's understanding your values, similar to speaking your love language, right? Yes. Versus like, if somebody's not doing that, then you're just having a rift in the whole system and it's not working, and you shouldn't push against that. And I think people sometimes fail to see that. So if you say, like, I had a friend, for example, I'll give you this example. She wanted to get married. She wanted, like, that commitment, the ring, and had dated this person since, like, we were, like, all in college. And, you know, they didn't move in together right away. And then finally, like, he had gotten his own place first, like, and then, like, she finally moved in. And even with those things, a few years down the line, things didn't end up working out. And I remember asking her, well, does he want to get married? Like, does he bring that up? Is that something that, like, is a thing for him? And I always ask when it comes to stuff like that, like, well, what did they witness growing up? Like, are his parents married? Like, is that, like, what is that like? And what is his expectations? Because we can put these expectations on people and, you know, but if their expectation is not the same, then you're putting yourself down. Or they in that situation, like, they would try to be like, well, you do this and I don't like that. And it was like a deep character, like, it's a characteristic of their personality. I'm like, oh, it's different. Like, you know, you bite your nails and you can stop doing it, versus like, this is like my characteristic. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't, we might look different at different levels of life, but it doesn't really change. So I think that's something that's worth noting, because people will still find themselves like making excuses. Mm-hmm. And I think, again, yes, are there situations where it can absolutely work? Yeah. But it can be like, they're not honoring what your values are. There has to be like that mutual, like, hey, I think we should communicate this way. Oh, you know, okay, well, I never did that, but you know what, for you, I'm gonna try it. Mm-hmm. And let's meet and talk about it again. Mm-hmm. That's a different energy.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And I think for us, it was just so many different things. You know, I think when you're with somebody, you get, you know, we always talk about mediocrity, being comfortable, familiarity, you know, all these things will keep you stuck, you know. And I think because I had the kids, what I had realized is I was so afraid to be a single mom.
I was afraid of
eating that cycle.
Mm-hmm.
That was a really big fear that I was able to see kept me there. Because when I look at the value standpoint, I mean, I'm really big with certain things. And it's so funny because there would be times we would be having a disagreement and I would just be in my heart of hearts be like, this just ain't gonna work. Because I can't make you consistent. Like, the consistency is a currency to me, you know.
Yeah.
Integrity is a currency. Loyalty is a currency. And I think because we subconsciously have been fed a lot of these negative beliefs, such as love hurts, right?
Oh God. Oh
love
God.
Is painful. You know, relationships are supposed to struggle. And it's like you have to have enough discernment. And I think examples, because examples also help to guide us as well. To what that looks like, because struggle is not, oh, well, he's a cheater.
Exactly. What is struggle?
Struggle is, hey, we are people and you're going to grow, they're going to grow. And sometimes you're going to have to relearn them. You're going to have to compromise. You're going to have to maybe experience life changes and circumstances that test your ability to, coexist with each other, you know. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it comes down to heart-wrenching
struggle. Yes,
right.
Yeah. To me, it's like just something that's gonna break you down, and
yeah.
We don't need that. We don't have to have that kind of struggle.
No. And I mean that was like one of my biggest things, and it's so funny because one of the things I was saying to Naisha is like, you know, I think just in life, whether it's you pursuing your purpose, like anytime you listen and you follow your light and you're like, damn, I don't know why. You know I love helping women, and I don't know how your journey started. I think we could definitely get into that, you know, but I know when my journey started in the very beginning, I wasn't even comfortable. I just created a brand to empower women. I knew I was supposed to do that. That was step one. So I did it. And then someone, you know, asked me about my story, and then they invited me to speak at a, I always knew I wanted to be a speaker too. And then I started talking about domestic violence and self-love. And when I first started, I wasn't even comfortable in talking about my domestic violence experience. And through just being in the brand, I was able to express it. Nonetheless, I don't want to get into a whole long story that's not relevant. But needless to say, you know, me listening to the guidance I kept getting, and not for nothing, you know, I paid a lot for not listening to that guidance. I knew at my second child, I remember sitting on the beach and I remember being pregnant with her and seeing this woman surfing with her daughter. She had three daughters, and something in my heart, I was just watching her, and God was like, that's going to be you. You're not meant to be with him. Like that's where I need you right now. Like I need you separated from him so I can work.
Mm-hmm.
Through you. And I just didn't listen, you know. I just stayed tied to it. In many ways, there were areas where he was just very manipulative, as far as there's just like certain experiences we went through when we were younger that he he had said things to me that I didn't realize broke me down in a way that took a toll on my self value.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I spent quite some years, especially in the beginning of our relationship, proving to him some shit that I didn't have to prove. Like, I didn't have to prove
it. Yeah,
he shouldn't have to prove anything. Who I was, and people make mistakes, and I've never cheated on him as much as he, you know, to this day, he would think that I did. But anyways, making that decision to walk away from him, you know, I just found out so many different things that were so revealing. And I'm like, could you imagine still being in a house with him and knowing what you know right now? And after all these years and time you've invested with this man, like, I'm like, and this is why people go freaking nuts, because you are basically going against your soul guidance, and you don't have enough wisdom or discernment to know it's just not going to work. You know it's not going to work, but at the subconscious level, because you believe also love is pain, love hurts, you know, I got to suffer, and then eventually we're going to reach our glorious moment of connecting. You know, it's like, and we see that in celebrities. We see that, you know, when the Beyonce came out with Lemonade, I used to have this couple YouTube videos that I did a little series about. It was called How I Turned My Lemon Into Lemonade. And I actually still have them, but I have them unlisted so no one can see them but me. I kept them there because every time I look at them, I say to myself, you lied to yourself. There's cheating. You know what I'm saying? You might have a situation, and everybody's different. You have to know your values. You know, maybe you have somebody and, you know, maybe they were emotionally connecting with somebody at work because you were, who the fuck knows the excuses that come with why people do what they do, you know, but the situation with him and when he had cheated, it was so like, it hit a part of me that it was almost one of those like unforgivable things. Like, you didn't just do it. You are just, the way you did it is so unforgivable. Like, I know a guy who's like, he goes, it's not how many men you sleep with that make you a hoe. It's how you maneuver.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like the way that he maneuvered and the way he did what he did was just like, damn, like you are, it just was like, I was so disgusted. I was so disgusted and just like, wow. And since then I fought with being with him and staying with him. And it was funny because every year that the time would come around when I intuitively had found out that he was cheating, it was just intuition because there were no signs, not a lick of a sign. I actually even had dreams. I had physical dreams where I saw like God placed me above him and I was watching him do different things, craziness. Like God was just in my ear, in my head and just giving me all the signs.
Are you serious? So wait. I have a question. Hang on. So when did you first know about the cheating?
So I had a dream, and in the dream, if I could remember it clearly, I think he was like kissing a girl, but I was like literally like Spider-Man, like on the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
Watching this transpire, and you know how you have a dream and you wake up and you're like, something don't sit right, like that's just And I'm not a stalker, like I'm not stalking nobody, I'm not checking your phone bill,
we're too grown for that, and it's also like I got kids, like right. What are you talking about?
I'm not that person. It wastes a lot of time. And it's just like, you shouldn't have to. So that was that. And then I was home one day, he was at work, and I kept hearing it. Check the phone bill. And I'm like, God, for real? Let me go check this phone bill. Like, that's just not who I am. Like,
wow.
So I went, there were literally no signs at all. He hit it very well. So I checked the phone bill and there's this number that's just like, girl, it was to the
everywhere.
You're just thinking like, what time do you have on your hand that you manage to balance both? It's kind of like that dude that has a whole nother life and you don't even know, like that level of sneakiness. And I checked the phone bill and I just remember calling him and I just was like, well, who's this number? What's such and such number? And you can always tell when somebody lies, when they're like, you know, and then they try to tell you and he couldn't get it out. And he was trying to piece together the story. I already knew it was a lie. I could tell. And I just was like, listen, if I fucking find out you're fucking somebody else, like we're done. Like we're done. That's it. And I knew he was, because I ended up hanging up on him and he kept calling me back. And literally that's when Beyonce Lemonade had come out. And that album was so funny because I went from listening to it and loving it to fucking hating it, because it was so triggering for me. Every single
song
that damn album was so triggering for me, because that it became my reality. And I was just like, I probably was in a shock for like 2 weeks, where I remember going to work and just like crying uncontrollably at times, like trying to hold myself together. I was going out every night, like just to not be in the house with him, because I did not want to be around him. I would go out to restaurants and just eat either by myself or with my friend. my homegirl, you know, and I was just like in a daze. And that's why, you know, it's like every year when that period of time would come around, and I realized this last year, 2019, because he said it to me. And I realized it before he said it to me. And I just thought to myself, you know, every time this date comes around, there's just something about it that triggers me. And I'm just not okay with him. And I'm not okay with being with him. You know, he said it to me, like, you know, it seems like literally every year you, and this was in 2016, I found out he was cheating. Every year you get like this, and you're just, I get distant. I would get really distant. I would get really irritable. That was my soul basically telling me what it was and what I needed to do. And I'm not going to spill all his business. I'll save it for a book. Cause I'm like, you the type of dude, bruh. I'm so happy I have a good soul. And I'm so happy that I am a God led woman, because I'm like, I could only imagine if you were with a crazy girl, like she would have fed you cyanide already, bro, because you do.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just not worth it. It's not, that's why you have to go back to values, because there's, it's what you do and it's how you do things. It's what you say and it's how you say things. And, you know, there were just so many things that did not align. And, you know, I have full responsibility for staying longer than I should have stayed, and having so many opportunities to have walked away and not, you know, but nonetheless, you know, it is what it is. I asked myself those questions, and asking myself those questions, especially the one where I was like, do I have another 11 years of this? Do I have a year? Do I have a month? We talked about counseling when he cheated, and I thought we could work through it. It seemed like he was like really changing, and then he just defaulted right back into who he was.
Did you go to counseling? Did you actually go?
I never did. I went to counseling for myself.
But he never went.
Mm-mm.
And that's the thing. Like, how committed are you to the relationship, to the change, to whatever, right? Because I think, again, first of all, at that point, y'all had three kids, right? Y'all had three kids already?
Mm-hmm.
How? Where's the time? Where is the... Like, I just, that's just, it just feels like a betrayal, even if it was, like, one time. Like, when I'm committed to you, what is there that you can't come and talk to me about? And I feel like in my marriage, it's one of those things where we're like, what is it that you can't come and talk to me about? And I know we've gone through, like, ebbs and flows, but the reason we're able to be in a good place is because literally we've had the point where it's like, are we going to do this or are we going to do this?
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't not communicate. You can't just like be frustrated. You can't not be being fulfilled in a particular area. And for us, it was always communication. It was communication and miscommunication of understanding what the other person needed, like what my load was versus what his load was, and me feeling things were unfair and that type. But we were always able to come back. We don't always see things eye to eye, but we can be like, all right, here's this and here's that, and how are we going to solve it together? Versus I really fucked up and I have this great woman here. Mm-hmm. And what can I do to make it better?
Mm-hmm.
Or like to me, I always say, like, if you need to cheat, if you need to go outside of the relationship for whatever reason, like, you, for me, like, you need to either leave, like, you have to be truthful with it, because, like, what is it? Because I'm like, I'm not a cheat. I'm like, I'm a loyal person, right? So it's like, if I feel like I need to cheat on you, I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of expect the same thing from you.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see where, again, like, I haven't been in a situation where I have to, like, really analyze it and be like, am I gonna forgive? But I don't see myself being like, okay, we're gonna do it, because if you're not willing to meet me halfway, what the hell?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and it's definitely it's so funny because my grandparents, they've been married for 39 years, and they pretty much said to me, you know,
oh, like, my God,
We already
knew. For 39 years.
Yeah.
So cute.
We just knew that he wasn't for me, you know, and it's so funny because I've had people who I've talked with online, like, there was so many signs everywhere where everyone, it's kind of like, it's so funny. It was like, you walk away from something, everyone's like, we already knew that, you know, and it's like, mm-hmm. Find your own stance. You have to find your own, you know, you have to really just become very decisive about what you want to do and just be very strong in that. And that's what I had to do, you know?
Yeah.
So, I just think, it's just interesting. It's just interesting how people around you can see what you can't see. And I think the people around me, because I know that you can't tell people stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to just let them come to their own terms. And luckily, you know, like I said, we need examples. Like my grandparents in my household, I grew up seeing domestic violence. I did repeat that too in my first relationship. My grandparents, however, and my aunt and my uncle, I was able to see like healthy arguing. I was able to see communication. I was able to see different things. And even being in a relationship, you know, I remember when he did cheat and I had to ask them, because people say this, like, literally, I've had people on his side of the family tell me, like, try, you know, they called me when he had cheated, like, he loves you, and
oh God,
like, all men cheat, it's okay, like, get better, it happens to everyone, you know. And it's like, I called my grandparents and I'm like, I need y'all to be really honest with me right now, like, do not sugarcoat it and do not, like, try to hide your truth. Like, have you guys ever cheated on each other? And they both were just like, no, like, that's a deal breaker. Like, that's a big no, you know?
And I think, again, it has to be like, what's within your values, and what's like, there are people that are out here and they can have open relationships, but an open relationship doesn't mean like one person's doing whatever and the other person is being faithful. Right. Mm-hmm. So I feel like if you are somebody where, like, you know that's a deal breaker for you, then you just know. And I think a lot of people just accept, right? It's oftentimes women that are like, oh, no, like, he loves you, though. Like, you should, like, why would you walk away from this? And it's almost making you feel like your value and worth is only within this relationship. What are you going to do now that you don't have this person? Mm-hmm. And it's just like, you know, I might not know, but I'm willing to find out without being cheated on, right? Yeah. And that's where your strength lies, right? Willing to find out, willing to explore what this life is, without staying just for the comfort, because quote unquote they love you.
Yeah And it's so funny because you just said so many things, definitely. And also with love, you know, I think when we are not aware of our traumas, and it's not that I wasn't aware of my traumas and certain things that I was reliving, it's just so many different layers got added onto it. So then we had kids, and honestly, the birth of my son was like so awakening for me. So many levels. Like, I think it brought out something different in him that I just didn't even like. I just was like, wow. And it just showed me so many different things. And the other thing really too was, like, just to have a boy and to have that masculine energy, and, you know, it was like, to, like, the way your sons love you is so different than your daughters.
Yeah. Child,
it's,
I know.
So different. It's like, it's not like, I'm definitely not going to be that mom that's like overly doting all over my boy and like, he can never do no wrong and he's just the fucking greatest thing since sliced bread, because I think that's very unhealthy. However, you know, I do think the relationship between a mom and a boy is very special, similar with a dad and a daughter, just the opposite chemistry. And, you know, it really changed my life. And I really was like, you know, just like you said, I think in life and in so many different ways, we don't know we don't know the, you know, we don't know the outcome for a lot of things. You know, we don't know the outcome of what a lot of things look like. It's like, even right now, we're in uncertain times. Everyone keeps saying that uncertain, you know, these are uncertain times. These are uncertain. And it's like, although the things are uncertain, you have to remember that there are equally so many positive possibilities. It's not just doomsday because it's uncertain. It doesn't all default to worst case scenario.
Exactly.
So
that was uncertain doesn't mean unbearable or again like the worst thing's gonna happen. Uncertain just means like you don't know.
Yeah.
You don't know.
Yeah.
And really, like, certainty is kind of a mirage, because there's a lot of false certainty that was going on, and this kind of like ripped it right from under us.
It sure did. It sure did. And I tell you what, I literally woke up this morning and I was just smiling, and I'm like, I have so much peace.
Yeah.
So much peace in my heart. I have so much more love for myself, respect for myself. I'm just proud of myself for following through with what I already knew I needed to do, you know. And I think the reason why people resist it is, like, when I sat there and I felt the pain of my children, when I sat there and I had to sit through their tears, and I still do. I mean, it's not, they still have their days. And most times, like, we still live in the same town for now. And, you know, sometimes when they come back from visiting, my one daughter, who's the youngest, she's like super emotional. And I'm like, I already know what it is. So I try not to, you know, discount her feelings and just let her be, you know, because they desire, my two youngest, they desire, my daughters, they desire for us to be together as a family. And I have to keep reiterating to them, like, we are always going to be a family. Like, we are a family no matter what, you know. And I think the other thing women have to consider, and just men as well, you know, like, who, this is a very generational thing, you know what I'm saying? And I've been able to see, Stefan, let me tell you, like, literally my grandmother, this is how crazy generational things are. My grandmother left my grandfather, her first husband. She was with him for 11 years.
Ooh.
I was in my relationship for 11 years. There's so many different similarities. When I, the day that I, there was a day that I had, the day that I went back to work was the day that she retired after my third child. So we always had these similarities. I literally said to them a couple weekends ago on the phone that I kept telling myself, I'd rather live in a box than to stay with him. Like, I don't care, you know, like, I gotta go. And my grandmother literally said the same thing when she was with my
grandfather. That's funny. Wow. So,
it's so funny because I've always seen the generational thing, especially when I was a teen. I saw the similarities of domestic violence. I saw the similarities. And I was just like, wow, like, this stuff really does get passed on, which is the funniest thing too. Cause I said to her, I said, how old were you when you met grandpa? And she's like, I was 33. And I'm like, grandpa, I mean, I'm like, grandma, I'm about to be 33 this year. Like, yay.
Oh, snap.
Right. So
keep that going.
Yes. So, you know, and people don't realize the generational, you know, when we don't do the things we need to do to elevate ourselves and the things we know we need to do, we don't realize that's going to trickle down to your kids. That's going to trickle down to who
they are, grandkids,
with how they think, how they maneuver, you know, their habits and their ways and stuff like that. So that was a big decision for me too, which I was like, would I really want my daughters to have this as a standard of love?
And the thing too is, like, we are not willing to be in the pain for the hard lesson. That's what happens when you decide to stay, right? You either way, it's going to be a hard lesson, but we choose not to get the lesson that fosters growth, fosters understanding, fosters, like, here, I'm developing this skill, right? So it, on the surface, especially when you first get a divorce or separate or just, like, leave a relationship, it is hard. Right? It's something that you have to navigate, something that's delicate, something that you have to address with your children. But they're always going to remember that and how they see you. Because guess what? They would have realized whatever he was doing that wasn't honoring you, that wasn't honoring kind of like the values that you have and the way that you want your household to run. Mm-hmm. And they would have seen that. And even if you put on a happy face and y'all like never really argued, they would have known you were unhappy. And what does that teach them? As opposed to like, hey, I'm going to leave this. Mommy's going to like stand on her own and make this hella difficult decision. That's not the easiest decision while she has four kids, one of them being a toddler, but she's going to do it. And we are going to see her go through it and thrive and willing to bet on herself. You know how I feel like that will eventually boost their confidence and boost like the way they kind of like see the world and see the power in themselves as they become women, not just to be like, hey, we just do this and we just put up with whatever, but like, nah, we could like, if when love is not being served at the table, you can walk away, like Nina Simone said, right? I can walk away. Love is no longer being served here, at least not in the way that I want it.
And it's funny because my two youngest, you know, we didn't argue too much in front of them. I think more than anything, you know, definitely as the relationship went on, there would be times where he'd want to engage in arguments. And I'm like, I'm just going to give your ass silence because I'm not doing it. I'm not going to do it with you. And I think beyond that, so the two youngest don't really remember. I feel like in their minds, they felt like everything was fine.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
My oldest, I feel like she probably could see a little bit more. I'm pretty sure they heard us at nighttime, though, when they were sleeping. We definitely used to have some big, you know, arguing matches. Either way, even just the silent treatments or the you know, it's like when you know two people aren't talking, or this that thick energy of just like,
yeah,
stuff is just okay, or even just a level of what love looks like, you know, just that healthy picture of like you said, of love and being loved and being loved the way that you like to be loved. And because I think so many of us have a skewed view of it, so many of us just want to be in a relationship to say we have something. So many of us didn't have a family unit, so we're willing to sacrifice our happiness to create family for our kids, thinking it'll benefit them in some way. And to me, it's just so toxic because it doesn't allow us to expand. And even just stepping away from that, I always talk, and I want to get into energy because you said your energy. I always pay attention to, you know, when you create space, you allow for great things to happen. Mm-hmm. You allow for more space for the good. And ever since I walked away, I just like, there's just so much space that I have for great. And, you know, I remember talking about this last year where it was like, you know, there's good enough and there's great.
Yeah. And I used to have this thing when I was younger. It's like, good enough is never good enough. Mm. But it's like, there's no such thing. And I remember saying, this was like way before like I started in personal development or anything like that. I was like, good enough is never good enough. So whatever it was, it's just like, nah.
Yeah.
We want something better than that.
Yeah. And just knowing you deserve it. That's so tough. And they always say that 98% of people suffer with unworthiness. And it's like that lie of unworthiness, it seeps so deep into who we are that you sometimes can't recognize that you did settle for good enough.
Yeah.
You'll lie. You said that too. You'll lie and you'll tell yourself things to avoid the truth of like, you know what? I'm settling for this because I feel like this is all I can get. And it's funny you mentioned your homegirl and being married, because one of the things that's prevalent in our culture are men who will make babies with you, but they won't marry you. You know, mm-hmm. the excuse in the book of why they can't marry you. And it's like, that's the good enough. And not that I don't think some people can get married and make it work, but it's like, you need to talk to your partner and be like, okay, we have all these babies. Like, what is it in you that is so hesitant about this commitment? Because babies are worth, a baby is a bigger commitment than a marriage.
Yes, absolutely.
Marriage, you can create a prenuptial agreement with a marriage. You can create all these different things so that when you walk away, there's no, you know, big
gray area.
Right. Mm-hmm. Just like, oh, if we just make a prenup. If you're that worried, just make a prenup. And that way you can just both walk away and it's just, it is what it is. And there's no big separation issues. And it's like, children are for life. We can't split them. We can't, it's just forever. We have to stay connected to each other forever, even if we don't want to, you know?
Yeah.
And that's big. And it's like, we've settled for so many different things in our culture because everybody's doing it. And I kind of have been feeling the need to just keep talking about it because we have to break down what we think is true. We have to break down what we believe to be true when it comes to relationships. So thank you so much for even sharing a portion of your relationship, because it's important that we can take an idea of like, you can disagree with somebody, you can have moments of transition with a partner. And I think that's just life, because we're always going to be changing. So we're always going to be changing. And then we've decided to be with somebody and they're always changing. And mm-hmm. then on top of that, we're raising babies who are always changing too. I mean, it's just like, it takes a lot of work. That's why it takes a lot of work. But the work is not found in people violating or returning your values and the things that you hold dear in the process. That's what I found.
Absolutely. I think it's, you said it perfectly there. Like, it takes work, but it's a lot of work. However, it shouldn't violate your values and the things that you hold dear or the other person's, right? So.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So I hope whoever out there is listening, you know, I had somebody message me today and they said, you know, you've been helping me so much because I need to leave a toxic relationship. And trauma runs so deep, you know, and trauma is just one of those things that I think many of us are just expanding our awareness to. We don't live in a generation where, you know, you can't talk about things. We live in a very open generation where people are talking about these things now, whether that's mental illness, whether that's things within the Black community that we do that have created so much troubling issues within our own lives. So I'm just really happy to continue to have these conversations and to bring people like you, where people can see like, no, like this is, you can be strong enough to walk away. You can be strong enough to really stand true in your values. And like you said, uncertain doesn't mean that things aren't going to work, you know. And that's the biggest
thing. It just means you don't know.
Things have always been uncertain.
Yeah.
Things are always uncertain. You just think because you have a cushion job and you're like, you can claim I've been here for 20 years or I've worked at this job for this many years. Like that to you, you equate it to certainty, but it's really not.
It's not.
It's really not. It's just a false representation of certainty. The only thing that is certain is that you will always have your mind and you will always have the ability to decide. That's pretty much, to me, the only thing that is certain is that, you know. But I definitely want to kind of get into energy, because in my own journey of, you know, energy work and healing and that type of thing, I have found it makes so many people uncomfortable, and it sometimes puzzles me. I think that we gloss over the fact that energy, it's a real thing, you know. So it's like, whether it's when you meet someone and for some reason you like, I just don't really like you, you know, and it could,
yeah, something's off. Yeah.
Even if we're all good people, there's nothing wrong with like not vibing with someone and you're like, I just don't. And then you find out something later and you're like, like that's what that was. Or when you are, I mean, there's been times that I've been driving a certain way and I'm like, I hear a message that's like, go the other way. And I end up going the other way and I'm like, wow, like this, this kept me from like getting into an accident. And then I go down the road and it's an accident. Or if you've been thinking about me and I've been thinking about you and you message me, right? These things are not coincidences. They are basically the way life is, and life is energy. So can you just talk a little bit about your understanding of energy, and basically your own journey to that? Because I think you have a very interesting spiritual journey. And I know when we talk about spirituality, especially within the Black community, when it comes to religion and how we, I think we get very uncomfortable sometimes when things don't look like what we know, or what we, you know, when it comes to like Christianity or how we practice things. So how does that look like for you?
Oh God. I feel like it's looked different and different, at different intersections of my life. So I've always felt very protected, because I will say when I was younger, I did a lot of dumb things. I did a lot of like, I was like, you good?
Yeah, I said ditto.
Oh, ditto. Yes, yes. I thought you said, hold up. But no, like, I just did things and I'm just like, man, I gotta have a guardian angel. So I always felt, not that I did things on purpose, but I'm like, wow, like, I am protected, because things could have gone completely left. So just understanding that and kind of like literally feeling that, not that I was feeling I was superior or even that like I had such a great life, but I was just like, man, even when things go wrong or even when I didn't see it, like, there was this energy. And one way I experienced that early on in my 20s, so I'll do it quickly. Like, let's see, I think I was like 19, maybe 18. And I was actually in an abusive relationship and I was away from home and he pulled a knife on me. Like, and I was, I'm literally like, I'm gonna die today. Like what's happening? I'm screaming at the top of my lungs. But we're like in the South Bronx and no, like in the hood, nobody, like, it's just like the trauma, the levels of trauma there, like you hear somebody screaming, like who cares, right? And I just knew then, like, there was something protecting me, like, and I was just like, okay, this looks really bad and it's gonna be okay. So just little things like that. But something that happened later on in life, so like not as traumatic, but I'm in Florida and I won't go into like the whole detail of the situation, but let's say I'm at a wedding and it's like literally fuckery level on 10 and we end up by the ocean. I'm trying to save somebody from themselves. I had my ID on me because we were at the bar and I'm like wearing a dress, right? ID falls into the ocean. The beach sails away and I'm like, fuck, how am I going to get home? Like, this is the worst thing ever. And I go through my night and I'm just like, I'm not really sleeping well, thinking about like literally like what the fuck just happened and what is life. And it's like maybe 7 a.m. I think I laid down at like 3 or 4 and it's like 7 a.m. Sun's starting to come up and something tells me to get out of bed. At this point, I have a pounding headache and I'm like, no, I just want to lay here and just, you know, figure out my life and how I'm going to get back to New York. And I didn't hear a voice, but it was something. It was like, Stepha, go downstairs and sit on the beach. So I was like, fuck it. Like, what the hell? Like, I don't even know what life is right now. So I'm going to go downstairs and sit on the beach. So I went, I think I grabbed a towel and I sat on the beach. And I was just like, God, what am I going to do? Please, like, I just need to figure out what to do. And randomly, as I'm sitting there, this man with, like, one of those, you know, those machines that finds,
yes, yes.
Well, the things on the beach, the metal detectors.
Yeah.
Comes up to me, was like, and I was like so annoyed. He's like, I'm closed my eyes. I'm just like, this man got here. Like, why am I down here?
So I was convinced it was like God. Like, and I'm not like, at this point I wasn't like super religious. I'm like, you know, I'm here. And the man's like, excuse me, ma'am, are you staying in that hotel? And I'm like, oh, yeah. And he pulls out my ID and gives it to me. The ID that I lost 5 hours ago in the ocean.
Wow.
And I was like, wait, what? And he's like, yeah, I just found it. And I'm like, there weren't a lot of people on the beach, but there were other people on the beach. You could have brought it to them. You could have asked them if they were staying at the hotel. There were, and it's like hotels that were like close. You know how like Miami is? And there's like hotel next to hotel. So it could have been like any of these people. You could have been like, hey, you. But the fact that that person came to me and was like, here, I don't know if you're staying at the hotel, maybe you can give it to them. I'm like, no, that's me. And I'm just like, if that's not an angel that I like woke up, literally felt something say, get out of bed and get down to the beach. Mm. So to me, that's one of the ways. And then another way I've experienced energy, and this one was, I mean, when I tell you, I bawled my eyes out. So in 2016, right around the time that I had my son, between my kids, I had really connected and on different levels to spirit. And it was just like my intuition really grew, particularly when I was pregnant the first time. And I continued to like tap into that. And by that point I was like doing like, you know, like I would pull like oracle cards just for myself, just to be like, okay, what am I being guided to do right now? Like, what's this message? What do I need to hear? I used to have the Goddess Cards app on my phone. So my grandmother was sick and she was like transitioning, and we had gone, like I had spent like a few days with her, and that particular night was when she stopped responding and they had called the nurse. She was doing hospice at my aunt's house, and she sort of stopped responding. So her body, like, you know, her vitals were just all initiating that she was transitioning. So we like did a prayer circle before everybody kind of like parted their ways. And as I'm heading back to my Airbnb, had the kids, we're all doing our own thing. I get off the elevator, grab my phone, and notice like there's a card open in the Goddess app. And I'm like, that's weird, because I haven't used that app in a little while. And also, you have to go through mad shit usually to pull a card up. It's not just like, oh, here's a random card that popped up for today. And the card was basically, the love you have is undying. And the translation, like, it gives you like a whole description. It's like, somebody very close to you is trying to tell you that they still love you, even if they're not here in the physical form. Girl, when I tell you I started bawling, and a year later to the date, that same card came up. So to me, like, those are just like different ways I've experienced it. But I mean, the basic, that's like, those are like dramatic ways, right? Dramatic, like, okay, clearly something, like, I didn't just wake up out of bed and be like, yeah, I'm just gonna go down to the beach and search. No, I went down to the beach because something told me, get your ass up and go. I didn't flip the cards. It was my grandmother speaking to me, right? But something as little as feeling, like knowing something was off with somebody. Oh, how often do we not listen to that? Mm-hmm. How often does somebody introduce us to someone and you're just like, at first you didn't. There was some, it could have been like a quick, but you're like, oh no, such and such, they're cool people. So, you know, I'm a rock. Mm-hmm. And then you find out like a month later or a year later that like, ah, damn it. Like, this is what I should have listened to. Mm-hmm. So for me, like, I think energy shows up in different forms, and even like in our children, like understanding like who they are in this form, like how it affects us and what message they're trying to convey to us about what we may be missing.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. That and that's big on so many levels, you know, and I think that's the beauty of children. And it just the messages around us. I think a lot of times we're too in the frame of mind of Hollywood and Lifetime movie.
Mm-hmm.
We expect it to be this big grandeur thing. And it's so subtle, and it's every single freaking day. It's every day. It's every freaking day. Like literally, I think it was last weekend. I had my windows open. I'm in an apartment with me and my kids. So I have the windows open and I keep hearing this bird. And I go to my kitchen, and I'm afraid to go in the kitchen because I had it open, you know, a good amount, and I have to have them come for a couple of my windows. They don't have the screens. So I'm just like, that freaking bird sounds like it's in my kitchen. Like,
oh my God. Oh my God.
I was so afraid. I'm like, oh my God, get ready to run. Because it was so loud, and it was calling me. It was like, rah, rah. You know, and I'm just like, okay. So I go, and it's a red robin, and I'm big with like spiritual animals and stuff. So I and it's literally just staring in the window, just like on the I have bushes that line my left windows, and it's just staring into the window, just doing this little call thing, you know, like in the window. And that's why it sounded so loud. So I close the window, and I'm like, what do those stand for? And red robins stand for new hope, new possibilities. And I was like, yes. So literally this same, I don't know if it was the same bird. I feel like it was literally like, because I like looked at it when I came in the kitchen, like, bruh, you can't be coming close to my window like that. Like, you're going to be a dead bird. And I'm not trying to go there, because if you fly in here, like, you're going to freak out. And I'm going to freak out. Somebody's going to lose.
Oh, my God.
So the bird literally showed up the other day and was, like, on the I hear the same call. But I got the – now I don't open them as much. And I see it, and I'm like – I just – remember saying out loud, I was like, okay, God, okay, thank you, you know, because it's like, we need those little reminders. I have cards, I have angel cards, similar to like your story, where I have angel cards that I had a couple that fell out.
Yep.
I was like, let me look at what they say. And on point, speaking of kids, like my daughter, she wrote something on my dry erase board. It says something like, be joyful. Be joyful and never give up.
Aww.
The way that she wrote it, I was just like, yes. Because it's like, you know, obviously I'm as joyful as I can be. But, you know, we're still not really much right now. But there's just been so many different things I've had to transition through making that decision. So when I saw her write joyful, I was like, okay, like, I need to tap into all the things I could be grateful for so that they're not feeling my stress or, you know, at times certain anxieties around certain things. And then really a lot of those things are out of my control, you know, so I have to recenter and refocus. So I've had an amazing, like, just 2 weeks of coming to Jesus and just coming to it and just reminding myself, and not that I don't already know this, but at a greater level, signs are already always around you. Just listen.
Yes.
Just one of the other things for me that I kind of got a little sidetracked with the situation is making sure to spend time in spirit first. Not wake up. Like, I'm not even answering. Like, I used to not even answer a text message. Like, I just woke up and just did my thing for like an hour, hour and a half. Then I would possibly go on my phone.
Yeah.
So it's like I kind of got a little sidetracked, and I've been getting those reminders, and I'm like, you know what? This is just the time. This is just the space to really recenter, refocus, and to align at just those higher levels, so that I'm gonna attract what I am. I'm gonna attract wholeness. I'm gonna attract joy. I'm gonna attract, you know, all the things that I am, opposed to you know, invoking just the things I don't want and all the things I don't want. So that's just a beautiful thing. And I think all of us have to stop and see that there's so many times that spirit has spoken to us. And to me, when I think about those times, it's like that should give us the ability to remember, restore, and, you know, continue to pay more attention. I'm a believer. I feel like you can get signs in your yogi tea bag. You can get signs in your wonton, your
everywhere.
Like, if you're open to it, you will get them everywhere. And it's so funny, you know, and they always make me smile. Like, literally, I just recorded a podcast called I prayed for you. And as I'm praying out loud, I see a butterfly. And for me and my family, we have this thing with butterflies, because when my great aunt died, my grandmother knew she died because there was a butterfly that landed. It landed on my aunt's shoulder, but it wouldn't fly away. Like, it was just, and she knew, and that's just kind of like always been the symbol of what that's our like spirit animal kind of thing. Mm. How she transitions. So for me, if I'm having worried thoughts or if I'm having uncertainty about things, God always sends a butterfly. Like, chill, it's all good. Like, if it's summertime, it's like through a photo or, you know, other means. But I literally, as I was praying, a white butterfly went right past me. Just one little white butterfly. And I was like, you know, that's God winking at you, saying it's all right. It's going to be okay. I got you.
It's going to be okay. Yeah.
People definitely have to pay attention to that. But I think this has been such a beautiful discussion. And I really hope everybody out there just takes it and holds it close to your heart, just like all these other soul chats, because, you know, great people are out there. That's number one. I think we get jaded on humanity.
Yes. And humans prove themselves.
Yeah.
Humans prove that. I'm going to send you this post that I saw last week from one of my favorite people on Instagram. And it was basically, long story short, is she posted like money, and basically like she had a yard sale a bunch of years back, and a neighbor stole like $10 from her. Mm. And she knows that it was that person because someone saw it happen, and they were they knew and they say, hey, you know, I saw such and such take your money. And long story short, the man ended up recently giving her $100. Mm. And because she had confronted him and he denied it, but it turns out he had a crack habit. Mm. And he now is completely clean. He's been clean for a few years, and he's like, I just saw you, and it felt good because I had $100 on me, so here's $100. Wow. And I mean, I tell you, I cried just like read, because I'm just like, humans, like, just in the same way we can feel disappointed in people. And she felt hurt that, you know, you're my neighbor and we were all right, we were kind of cool, and you stole $10 from me, and she needed it at that time, you know, her like budget was like tighter, and now that she doesn't even really need it, and he really showed up and had that vulnerable moment, like, yo, you know, I was going through this really heavy thing, but here, because now I'm clean.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, damn, humans, like, yes, humans, like, yes. There's a lot of crappy things, and there's a lot of shitty things we can focus on, and that can distract us, and maybe shitty things have happened to us, right? We all have had that, but mm-hmm. at the core of it, there's so many good things that are available to us, and there's so many good things in the human spirit, and we can tap into that.
Yeah.
And have that too.
Yes. Yes. And it's also, you know, like we talked about energy, what you focus on, you know, and every day you are turning on a radio station, and you have to be very mindful of that, you know. And I think, you know, the more we turn our radio station to understanding, love, peace, we are able to attract that same thing, you know. That's just not work. There's no way around it, you know. Just turn your radio station to what you want, you know. What you want to vibrate, attract to yourself. And that's the purpose, like I said, of just doing this. Is I want people to know good people exist, amazing people exist, you know. And it's not always the big names, but.
Ooh, say that again, louder.
Yeah, because it's like we just get so jaded and we just hold too many people at the standard. It's like there's good people all around us. There's good people, you know, and the more that we can connect people with those people, I think it helps them to restore their own faith and possibilities. And you just speaking about your history and the things you've been through and being held, you know, at night, you know, with someone holding a knife to you, and the experience on the beach, you know, it's kind of like that allows other people listening to look at their own experiences and say, wow, you know what, I've had some really great times that God showed me, you know. Because I think one of the things about darkness is I always say to people, it has better marketing. That's it. It's just better marketed, and it's enticing, and it's shinier. It's like everything that glitters is in gold, you know. It's like, so at the end of the day, I really value this conversation. I really value you coming on to chat with me, and just sharing your knowledge. Let us know, where can we find you? Where can we support you in the future?
Yes, no, thank you. I really appreciate the chat. You know, like, our energies click, and I just kind of like love that you're able to just be vulnerable, like be yourself and be vulnerable and share all parts of who you are while still, you know, like doing the work to get people to like their highest selves. So for me, you can find me on my website. So it's stephalafon.com. And of course, I'm on Instagram, and my business page on there is Mama Slay Life. And I'm also available at Cephalophon, and my little guy just came up on me, so you can hear him now.
No. So I thank you so much for joining me, and thank you everybody for tuning in to that. Make sure you subscribe, like, rate, review this podcast. If you want to support, you can support on Anchor by subscribing to a monthly membership subscription and sponsorship, or you can cash up us at Heal and Thrive. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to Soul Chat with your host, Ebony Tatora. Make sure you hit the subscribe button, leave a review, and if you love it, share it with your friends. And make sure you join us next week for another conversation with your soul, bringing you thought-provoking conversations that require you to look a little bit deeper than the surface.